Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, hello, everybody. This is John Michael Talbot. Do you ever feel like that your evangelization or your work gets a little dry? Come discover the joy of prayer. All things are possible with God. Well, howdy, everybody. This is John Michael. You know, we're going to be looking at the joy of prayer, and not just prayer, but spirit-filled prayer from the Joy of the Gospel by Pope Francis. You know, this guy, he is just calling us over and over and over again into this personal love relationship with Jesus. Now, here's the deal. You cannot give what you don't have. Jesus says, Whatever you have, give as a gift. See? But what if you have nothing to give? So some people are afraid to evangelize. They're afraid to go out and do ministry because they haven't first filled up the canteen. They haven't been filled with the Spirit. They don't have that personal encounter with Jesus Christ. So, at the very beginning of this apostolic exhortation, you know, the Pope is so clear. He says, I call everyone at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Wow! He sounds like a Baptist, but he's not. He's Catholic. And the Baptists are loving him, by the way. And so am I. And he says, don't let anyone think that this call is not for them. Right now, right now. So the joy of prayer is all about entering into that personal love relationship with Jesus Christ and doing it in full communion with others who are in that personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's go through some of the things that the Pope has asked us about. You know, we can't give what we don't have. He says in Article 262 of this exhortation, Spirit-filled evangelizers are evangelizers who pray and work. See, a lot of times we try to do the work without praying. We try to go out and evangelize without doing what Jesus asked of the apostles. He said, stay in Jerusalem, wait in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high, the power of the Spirit, then you will be my witnesses to all the ends of the earth, to Judea and Samaria, yeah, to all the ends of the earth. It's that dunamis, that power of the Spirit. And that word dunamis, anytime you read power, it's there. And it's also, anytime you read the word miracle in Scripture, it's dunamis. It's where we get dynamite. Prayer is where we fill our gas up so we can travel long distances and at high speeds. I don't know about you guys, I like to drive fast sometimes. It feels great, doesn't it? See, so when we're in the Spirit of God, we can drive fast. Spirit-filled evangelizers. So we have to learn how to stir up the power. The Pope says, without prolonged moments of adoration, a prayerful encounter with the Word, that's Scripture, and that's also the living Word, of sincere conversation with the Lord. Conversation. I love the word conversion, and in the Benedictine rule, conversatio, of an ongoing conversation with Jesus. Without these things, our work easily becomes meaningless. We lose energy as a result of weariness and difficulties, and our fervor dies out. That's burnout. Do any of you ever experience a little bit of burnout? Burnout raising your families, burnout at your job, burnout working at the church, burnout helping the poor, burnout preaching. It goes on and on. Usually when we do this, it's because we are not taking appropriate times for prayer. He says the church urgently needs the deep breath of prayer. The deep breath of prayer. And to my joy, groups devoted to prayer and intercession, the prayerful reading of God's Word, the perpetual adoration of the Eucharist, these groups are growing at every level of ecclesial life, every level of the church. Clergy, laity, you know, consecrated religious, folks living out in the world, you know, we're seeing it just happening everywhere and how exciting it is. But it's like breathing. See, one thing you do without ceasing is you breathe. Whew. That's why St. Hezekiah the priest and St. Diodocus of Fotiki in the 5th century said to unite the name and the person of Jesus with every breath you take so that we can pray without ceasing. But we have to be careful. He says as well to be careful that you always do this in communio. Koinonia is the Greek word. Communio is the Latin word. In communion with your brothers and sisters. Otherwise, you can end up thinking you're anointed by the Spirit, thinking God's talking to you, and it may be an angel of light or an angel of darkness come as an angel of light. So he says we must reject the temptation to offer a privatized and individualistic spirituality which ill accords with the demands of charity. Charity immediately puts us in communion with our brothers and sisters in the church, with other religious people, with other people of goodwill, with folks all around the world. The Pope, you know, keep in mind he's a pontiff, like a pontoon bridge. And we are to be that too. The Pope is bridging barriers, bridging gaps all the time, almost every time he speaks. He's talking to secular folks and religious folks of all faiths, talking to other Christians, Catholic and non-Catholic alike. And he's bringing together the folks that tend to get divided and kind of polarized within the church. He's a bridge builder. So we are to be bridge builders in the love of God. So we are to reject anything that is kind of a Lone Ranger Christianity. Me and Jesus, and I don't need anybody else. Boy, I've seen some real religious wackos that have followed that course, and they end up in trouble, and it's always so sad to see it. But the Pope likes popular piety, the piety of the average person. In other words, you don't have to go to seminary and have a doctorate in theology in order to pray. You know, I once had a Methodist pastor friend of mine when I was at the very beginning of my walk with Jesus. I hadn't become Catholic yet. And he said to me, he says, you know, John Michael, if you really want to know Jesus, you need to go to Harvard or Yale and get a doctorate in theology. I immediately said, I don't think so, bud. No. And the Pope, remember, this guy's a Jesuit. Pope Francis is a Jesuit. You have to have an IQ of 180 just to be a Jesuit. This guy is smart. But he's not proud. And he recognizes the work of God in the average person. He says, popular piety enables us to see how the faith once received becomes embodied in a culture and is constantly being passed on. Once looked down upon, popular piety came to be appreciated once more in the decades following Vatican Council II. So, and he says, there's just some wonderful stuff there, folks, that we can see the sensus fidelium, the work of the Spirit. And he brings out, Think, and I've seen this myself, I go to the third world, I go down to Nicaragua, Latin America, and I see the little mom, poor as a church mouse, no carpets, no floors, yet praying, praying for her child with a simple rosary, a simple novena. Oh, and I'm so touched by that. I go, oh, I wish I had that faith. So, we have to remember, the primary reason for evangelizing is the love of Jesus, which we have received. So, our infinite sadness can only be cured by infinite love. It's impossible to persevere in fervent evangelization unless we are convinced from personal experience that it is not the same thing to have known Jesus as not to have known Him. And he says, get this, I love this. What a great quote. He says, we become fully human when we become more than human. When we let God bring us beyond ourselves in order to attain the fullest truth of our being. This all happens through prayer. Whoa, man. Let's know Jesus. Let's know the dunamis. Let's know the power of the Spirit. And let's be fresh and alive in our evangelization, whether it's in the family, the secular world, or in the church. I love you. See you back here in a few minutes. Bye.
Christ has no body now but yours. No feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which He looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do. Yours are the hands with which He blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours.
Well, howdy, everybody. This is John Michael. Welcome back. We're looking at the joy of prayer, the joy of how to build that personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that we have something to give in our evangelization. Wow. Again, you can't give it if you don't have it. So let's go through some of the traditional ways in the history of the church that we've talked about, the stages of prayer. And I want to go to a guy named Guigo II. And he was a prior. The word prior means first, or the elder, of a group of monks in the 10th and 11th century called the Carthusians. They were hermits. And he wrote something that has become really foundational. You can find it in the Catholic Catechism as well. And he divides prayer into lectio, or sacred reading, meditatio, or meditation, oratio, or prayer, and contemplatio, or contemplation. That in fact, our relationship with Jesus has stages. So I want to go through what he says. The first is reading. He says reading is the careful study of the Scriptures, concentrating all one's powers on it. Meditation is the busy application of the mind to seek with the help of one's own reason for knowledge and hidden truth. Prayer is the heart's devoted turning to God to draw away evil and obtain what is good. Contemplation is when the mind is lifted up to God and held above itself. Wow. Held above itself. Reading seeks for the sweetness of the blessed life. Meditation perceives it. Prayer asks for it. Contemplation tastes it. Reading, as it were, puts food whole into the mouth. Meditation chews it and breaks it up. Prayer extracts its flavor, and contemplation is the sweetness itself which gladdens and refreshes. Reading works on the outside, meditation on the pith. Prayer asks for what we long for. Contemplation gives us the delight in the sweetness of what we have found. Wow. So there are stages. We enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And relationships are not static. This is not a computer relationship. This is an incarnation, incarne, in red meat. Jesus is the Logos, the Word, incarnate. When you go to the Mexican food place and you want red meat, what do you order? You order carne, not pollo. Jesus Christ is not the Word in pollo, in chicken. Jesus is the Word of God in red meat, in red meat. So what does this mean? It means the Word is alive. The Word is alive. This is not just philosophical study. This is not just reading. It's not just human effort. No, this is all those things combined with the living reality of the Spirit of God in our life. In our life. You know, we Catholics, we no longer put the scrolls in the tabernacle. We put the sacrament, the sacred mystery, Jesus in the Eucharist, in our tabernacle to remind us every time we walk in to a place of worship that we are interested in a living word, a breathing word. So there are stages. It is not static. So we have lectio, sacred reading. You have to take a little time every day. I recommend 20 minutes. Read a little bit of the Word of God. Read the gospel of the day. Go to your little missal. You have daily missals. You have Sunday missals. Read the gospel at least of the day and pray and meditate on it. Go through the Liturgy of the Hours, which takes us through all 150 Psalms every month. Take some time, 20, 30 minutes. But then you have to use the imagination. It's not enough just to read it. You have to visualize it. You have to see it. It has to come to life. Then you have to pray that the study, as it were, and the imagination are being enlivened by the Holy Spirit. And then we pass over into contemplation. Wow. And in contemplation, you are beyond the mind. You enter into a pure experience of God that uses the things of creation, the mind, the emotions, even the senses of the body, But we go to a place of pure contemplative union, where you simply be with the one who is. You be with the one who is. No words suffice. You can't talk about it. Your emotions can't wrap around it. It's bigger. You've moved beyond time and space into the infinite, into the eternal. Bang! In the now, right now, in eternity, in infinity. That is contemplation. And when you have that power, that being as primary in your life, now the mind, thoughts can facilitate that reality. The emotions become empowerments, not just distractions. They're not unruly, they're focused. So they empower us to the good things of God, and the body, the senses, become the vehicle in which all this wonder takes place in time and space. So, sacred reading, meditation, prayer, contemplative union. In the Western Church, we also have a threefold description of this that's often heard, of the purgative life, which is asceticism, sacred reading, various works of mercy, various disciplines that kind of help prepare the vessel. Then we have the illuminative life, where the mind and the emotions and the senses are illuminated in that union with God. And then we have that pure unitive life that takes us to the contemplative wonder. And we see the same thing in their own way in the Christian East. In the Christian East, they will speak of the incensive power that corresponds to the purgative. That's, have you ever been incensed? I'm incensed. That means that, your emotions are involved. So we get the incensive power involved. And I love what the Eastern Fathers say. The Eastern Fathers say, if you're going to love what God loves, you got to hate what God hates. Sometimes you have to use a holy hatred to get free of the stuff in your life that's dragging you down. You have to push away. So we have the incensive power, then the rational power, which is the mind, and then you have the intellective power, intellection they call it, that's beyond any concepts, any forms, any names. It's what we call passive contemplation in the West. The first stage are what they call the divine energies. Energies are things that we can know that are phenomenal. So God is incarnate. He works in and through the phenomenal world to take us beyond the phenomenal world into pure essence. Spirit to spirit, heart to heart, essence to essence. Wow. And in the West, we would say that the energy and the essence are so united that you can't really separate them. So we have these stages. In one of my series, which we'll look at later, we're going to talk about the fire of God in the same stages. You have kindling to get the fire going. You have the roaring fire, which are the charismatic, illuminative things. And then you have the hot coals of contemplation. And then that heats the house in evangelization. There are many different analogies of the stages of prayer. The main thing is know the stages, work the stages, but they're only aids and tools to help us in this personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's end with this. Again, the Pope says, I ask everyone into a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ at this very moment. Take a moment, and I want you just to pray, Jesus, touch me. And then make a little promise. I will take the time every day to pray. And then my ministry will come alive in Christ. All things are possible with God. See you next time.
Nothing trouble you. nothing frighten you. For everything passes, but God will never change. Patient endurance will obtain everything. Whoever has gone wants for nothing at all. God alone is enough. God alone is enough. Whoever has God wants for nothing at all.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.